Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Vinny Del Negro and tie pulling be brought up in this.
Indirectly as a Paxson question, yes. And it'll be in the context of a question. Well, that's better for Pax, by the way, than the day after the debacle when Wade and Butler went after everybody and Gar came out, gave a short statement, took no questions. And Pax, we later found out, was in the freaking building and would not address the media. So now at least he's stepping out front.
That news brought to you by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com. No break. We're back after the update on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yes, we are. Thank you for being with us. Brought to you by CC's. Want to taste the sauced and tossed flavors of CC's wings on your pizza? Well, now you can with three pizzas inspired by wings now on CC's Buffet for just $5 and change. Prices may vary.
Check out our live video stream at 670thescore.com. Brought to you by Marvel Universe Live at Allstate Arena, November 2nd through the 5th. MarvelUniverseLive.com.
We have Pat Manley in with us for the noon hour. We have Can't Do It at 11:45. John Paxson is going to give us the suspension news and some comments on Bobby Portis. We'll listen to that until it stops getting interesting, which I'm guessing is going to be relatively quickly, around noon or so. And we'll talk to Pat Manley about teammates fighting. Because he can offer the athlete perspective on that.
Yeah. Olin Krutz and Fred Miller at the gun range is the first thing that came to my mind, but that was at a gun range. Also, Steve Kerr being punched in the face by Michael Jordan that it left a black eye. Michael Jordan, I don't believe Michael Jordan was suspended.
No. Bulls can afford to suspend Bobby Portis a little bit more.
Yes, they can. They could afford to cut him to make a point if they wanted to. They really could.
Yeah. I mean, are you advocating? You've brought that up a few times. I never considered it. Are you advocating?
I'm not putting it past the realm of possibility because they've had a few years now to watch Bobby Portis develop and they've been disappointed by him. He's also been psychologically sketchy in terms of energy level, consistent work ethic, et cetera. Had a good offseason, supposedly. They let him start the first preseason game because of the work ethic, but then they quickly got discouraged by him during training camp. So they might be done with him enough to go ahead and use it as a reason to make a point.
People have asked whether or not Bobby Portis could face legal ramifications for this incident. I am no legal expert. I would imagine it is possible, but exceptionally unlikely, and there's no way that Nico would press charges. You know what I mean? Like, you punch a guy, he ends up in the hospital, broke a couple bones in his face. Like, is that a misdemeanor assault charge? If it happened on the street, sure. If it happens in a workplace, my guess is, especially in that type of workplace.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you even think of a time when that's happened before?
When a teammate fight?
That had led to charges? My guess is no.
Latrell Sprewell choking PJ Carlissimo. That didn't even lead to charges. That's player coach, right?
Right.
That's Carlissimo's choice to not do that. I don't remember. A teammate fight leading to that. I bet it's happened out there. By the way, according to the story, Nico was a guy being chippy the whole way. Like, if you want to go, who started it? Like, Nico was a guy being chippy, and they're arguing, and Nico pushed him. Nico pushed him, and then got
match,
the punch.
And Nico might have started the shoving match, and then Portis finished it with a cheap shot. Listen, maybe they'll come out today, and they'll say, yeah, and when Nico gets back, he's suspended a couple of games, too. You know what I mean? Maybe that's possible. Who knows? But we might not even go live to the Advocate Center, frankly, because Bobby Portis they're going to come out and they're going to say, we don't accept this, and he's suspended for 10 games, and we can read that to you, and we can keep it moving Cubs and Bears.
We'll bring you the important stuff, including any moments where John Paxson or Fred Hoiberg sound ineffectual as leaders, which I expect to be obvious.
Correct. David Schuster is out there at the Advocate Center, so we can get a report on that if we need to. Wrigley was quiet last last night.
From the get-go.
Yeah.
It was.
It's quiet.
Even before the Schwarber homer, and you know, we talked about it yesterday, talked to Ryan Dempster for a moment yesterday about what it felt like in 2008 after they'd lost in 2007 and, of course, everything that happened before in the history of the franchise and that feeling of kind of resignation slash fear. There was some of that in the air last night. There was certainly some quiet. And every time an at-bat failed, it just got hammered home. That's what it felt like in there. You know, I love to psychoanalyze a crowd of 41,000 people, but it was eerily quiet. And then by the end, when so many people had left and it was so quiet, you could hear individual fans screaming at Yasiel Puig. You know, it was a crazy.
They were saying they love watching him play, right? Those were the screams. They're just like, man, you're exciting, and we're glad that you're making baseball fun again, and give yourself another curtain call and lick that bat. That's what they were saying, right?
They were going at Puig because Puig elicits that, which is why Baez waved the finger, by the way. That for me was like, I'm with you, Jay, on the feeling of it. Like, I certainly didn't get angry at Baez, and I was like, well, he's not taking it super. It's a game. He's not taking it super seriously. He is trying, but, you know, whatever. But also, it's Puig who begs for that. Puig, who, like, you know, deserves that kind of thing. You give it to each other back and forth. But overall, yeah, man, that was quiet and it was weird. And there were occasional explosions, like on a single, that felt a little bit like relief or even, you know what I mean? It was ugly.
I saw a post game last night. People were saying that fans were booing Joe Maddon. That is ridiculous. They were booing Edwards for walking Yu Darvish.
There were boos at the end of that inning.
Yeah, and Joe comes out to get him. Like, stop.
Yeah.
Okay. That is on the worst part of that game, which was the four-pitch walk to the pitcher who was dancing all over the plate and faking a bunt and all of that stuff. Joe Maddon, I do not think, is specifically being booed in that instance.
You know what that was? That was the equivalent of, you remember how Sugar Ray Leonard used to, like, wind the left arm, stand in the middle of the ring, and Muhammad Ali before him, right? Just wind the arm and think, oh, I'm going to punch you, and then hit you with a jab with the other hand. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just taunting you. Taunting
you. You mean what
you
was doing? What
Yu Darvish was doing to CJ Edwards was little league stuff. But that's a big league player looking at Carl Edwards saying, I don't think you're going to throw a freaking strike. And at 3-0, throwing the bat out there, pretending to bunt. I'm like, oh my God. That's it. Edwards is going to have a rough offseason, man. Going to have a rough offseason.
Yeah. 312-644-6767. Garrett, you're on the Spiegel and Parkin show. What's up, Garrett?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I guess my personal feelings on it would be I would have rather them lost 9-8 to the Nationals instead of the other way around, because I would have felt like they were fighting for something. Coming in and essentially getting swept by the Dodgers and scoring four total runs and looking like they are incapable of even being a playoff team, being outmanaged, on and on. I mean, there's just so many mistakes. It makes me going into the offseason think, what a trash, you know, performance that was. And as far as fans leaving early or booing, the Cubs came out and said, listen, our tickets to come to the playoff games are more valuable than any other team's, even by like 20%, and then they're putting that product on the field. It's terrible. It's just ridiculous.
Would you still feel the same way that you would have rather lost to the Nationals in five than get swept by the Dodgers if the Cubs win tonight and lose to the Dodgers in five? Because to me, like, I can't really relate to that, because saying you go to the NLCS three straight times as a Cubs fan, I find to be really cool. You're in the Final Four. You go deep, and it's part of the run, and it's part of what the overall story is going to be if this thing turns into a dynasty with multiple championships.
I would still feel terrible, because nothing is going to take away those first three games unless they come back and win in seven.
Okay.
Their effort in these first three games is absolutely pathetic. And just because Joe Maddon doesn't want to throw any player under the bus, everybody knows that Wade Davis was never available when it came to that game.
He was available. He was available. They just decided to hold him on for a save opportunity that never came.
No. What you're saying is Joe Maddon's a horrible manager. I think that was the save opportunity.
Well, that was not the save opportunity.
It turned into it. He wasn't warming up. is the thing. He was just doing the soft toss.
He was talked about this with a lot of people at the ballpark yesterday. Just about, you know, you hang out on the field at batting practice and all the media's around, and just about everybody listened to Joe Maddon with us yesterday. Everybody said,
quite a few conversations about that, yeah.
Hey, manager was feisty, huh? Yeah, he was. And the one thing that I wish I had pinpointed with Joe, as we talked about it yesterday, was, did it cross his mind, and it doesn't appear that it did, that the one out of Justin Turner, getting Justin Turner for that one out once Lackey has walked Chris Taylor on Sunday night, is potentially more valuable than three outs in the next inning or whenever. Like,
right,
that
he would
was
say,
the game.
Though, back to the dry bleeping, that you can't, like, getting him up there to not use him because you have faith in,
right,
Lackey burns him potentially for later because of how much he was used in game five.
Right.
That's
and
what
then,
he would say.
And then, yes, so then becomes the real question. And again, he would say that, that if you're telling me if you warmed up Wade Davis while Lackey's pitching to Chris Taylor, just in case Turner comes there, and then Chris Taylor makes an out, that Wade Davis is unable to come out for the next inning 5 to 10 minutes later? No freaking way. That's trash. That would be trash, and you know it, and they know it. But that's how they would sell it. But yeah, that was the one out. One out being more valuable than the three mythical outs, which might come or might never come.
I will just say, Wade Davis, while amazing and a cyborg, is high maintenance and protective of his elbow. And protective of his future payday and his career. Works insanely hard, revitalized his workout regimen in the offseason, is super committed to his craft, obviously has done the rain delay in the ALCS a couple years ago, the seven outs the other day. So, like, all I would say to you is, diva, I don't know, but, like, high maintenance, absolutely. And his free agency is right around the corner.
Days away.
From clearly, a $50 million payday minimum?
The way that, yes, Melanson, I think, got 55. The way that they have been selling it, and they talked about Wade from the other night, incredibly high maintenance. But so that's that. And if there were promises made about, look, we're not going to drain you like we did with Aroldis Chapman, we're going to make sure that you'll be available for your payday, that kind of, you know, you don't necessarily owe him that. You really don't.
No.
You traded for him, you know?
No, I mean, listen, he would, if asked to go in, he would go in. But I'm just saying, from what I know about Wade Davis, his history, and all of that, definitely a high maintenance. It's why he doesn't do it in the regular season until he was gearing up for this postseason, going more than three outs.
Which I'm fine with, if that's the case. But once the postseason comes, you can't even freaking get warmed up once and come in 5 minutes later. I think that would be double talk from the Cubs. But either way, that level of maintenance makes me rethink the possibility, or not even rethink, but, like, you want to sign Wade Davis? You really want to sign Wade Davis?
I've been consistent on that with no.
Me too.
Yeah,
me
too. I would not pay Wade.
You're
going to
pay a closer who has pitched as much as he has, 50 to 55, 60 million now for the upcoming portion of his career? I'm a no on that. Brandon Morrow. Anthony Swarzak. You want to consider Greg Holland for a year or two? You can talk about those kind of things.
Yeah, I think he'll get a longer deal than that. Can't do it at the end of this hour. Pat Manoli co-hosts with us for the noon hour. Plenty of time. We got full phones, a lot more Cubs to get to, and apparently waiting on some suspension news from the Berto Center within an hour. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score, or the Advocate Center.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thanks, Petey. This segment on Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Thank you to a texter who reminded me of something that I said going into a commercial break that we never followed back on. Lots of stuff going on today, but it's no excuse. I got to be better. 20 minutes until Can't Do It. We spent some time in the recording studio yesterday after the show, and we have track 5 of the Mitch album basically ready to go.
I'm incredibly excited about this one. I got to tell you.
Jay was incredibly excited about it. It was an arduous process. We had to bring in a ringer. There's production components. There's a lot to do here.
There's a guest singer. I am not on it. My voice does not appear on the track in any way. I was just a writer. I was Bernie Taupin in the background. Happy to be so.
It was very a total pleased. Team effort.
Complete team effort.
I mean, Russ with the production, Jay with the music, Jay with the idea, you with the lyrics, me as the star. It's just, there's a lot there.
We're just going to let that go by?
There's just a lot there.
Harkins is the star.
I couldn't believe how Spiegel would sing you a line, and your job was to repeat it, and you sang something completely different.
Completely different.
You have no sense of melody or pitch or anything.
Or tempo.
It's one thing to not be a good singer. I'm not a good singer. I can't sing. I can't be in a band and sing. But I can hear a melody. If you sing me a melody, I can repeat it.
That was staggering.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, like matching pitch. Like matching pitch is not that difficult of a skill.
Can't be. I would sing him a line that essentially ended with da da da, and he would go da da da, like that every time.
It would take five or six times
to hammer him. Like, no, do you not hear me climbing up? And I'm doing like a hand gesture. No, da da da, and he go da da da. Unbelievable.
Did we nail it? Did we get there?
I mean, the 60 takes. Yes, we got there.
The edit process for Russ Matera.
Oh my God.
Russ is a very patient man.
Oh. No, that was super clean. One take, Danny. Yeah, one take.
Knocked it out. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
So the question is, we were going to debut it on Bears Friday.
Yeah.
But if the Cubs lose, we might need to, you know, break up the postmortem of the season. Do we debut it tomorrow if the Cubs get swept, or do we save it for Friday regardless? That is the question that we need to decide.
Yeah, if they get swept, we're going to need some levity tomorrow. So I think we should definitely play it tomorrow.
I think it's an award-winning thing that's going to launch a second career for me. Spiegel can have a second career in
music. It's a thing, and you have one career.
Okay. Well, that's your opinion. I have mine.
I think it's a really fitting track one of side two of the Mitch album. It's not originally what we had thought of last week, but it evolved, and it follows the storyline. I feel really good about it.
Okay. So if the Cubs get swept, we'll play it tomorrow.
Yep.
If they win, we'll play it on Friday. Everyone in agreement there?
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
Sounds good to me.
Show issues worked out on the air. Programming meeting. Pick a call, Speaks, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's go to Bob in Fort Myers Beach, Florida. Bob is on the score and has been patient. What do you say, Bob?
How are you guys today?
Good.
Well, you know, as much as I like to go along with your if when they get swept, it looks like it's when they get swept, the way they've been playing these last two series. But my question is, out here I get the tribune sent to me, and I'm reading about that Larky home run he gave. But I didn't hear anything about the previous batter before that, how he was constantly shaking off the catcher, and he was stepping off the rubber, and all that animation. And then
you mean Lackey 2 days ago?
Yeah, Lackey to Wilson Contreras when they walked Chris Taylor. Yeah, there was like two different trips to the mound, two in a row, in fact, at one point. Lots of shaking off of the signs.
Yeah, what was that all about? I mean, it seems like the mentality on this team, it seems to be somewhere else. You look at guys bringing their glove down and dropping the ball without making sure it's secure, or errors, or even a face on Edwards. It just doesn't look like they're mentally prepared for this series.
I think they're completely mentally drained and realized that they are playing a better team who has the glow that the Cubs had last year. I think it's a combination of oh, my God, it was an arduous year, man. It was a lot. There was a lot going on all year long. It was sometimes awkward. They would play terrible, then they'd play good, and then they'd play terrible again.
They're laying an egg right now. That's the truth. They're laying an egg right now, and the other team's playing great.
Yep. Incredibly exhausting NLDS with that bizarre game five. And then they realized, oh, it's the Dodgers' year. Like, and there's some little bit of mental resignation that comes in that leads to a lack of focus and some people making embarrassing errors. It's an embarrassing showing.
I will say, Lackey in that spot out of the pen, pitching back-to-back days for the first time in his career, not as surprised that there's confusion and trying to get on the same page, and then there's a runner in scoring position, so you're worried about sign stealing and all that, so him and Contreras are trying to communicate and all that. I would enjoy if in the progression of Wilson Contreras, if maybe we didn't have quite as many mound visits. Like, he's out there all the time, and it slows down the game. And like last night with Edwards,
it also might affect some of those pitchers.
Agreed. And like, Edwards especially.
Well, Edwards is completely a rhythm based guy, and Contreras is constantly telling him to like slow down or breathe or whatever that is.
But Bosio's out there after the first pitch, and then Contreras is out there after the second pitch, and then it was just four fastballs. He never broke off a curve. He never threw anything. It was just four fastballs, four balls immediately to you.
Throw strikes is really all it was
about. Strikes. He's not swinging. So, like, I just watching, what, 130 Cubs games this year? Just, like, Contreras is always out at the damn mound.
Give me, how many walks is the bullpen? 22, right? It's at least 22. It's unbelievable how many walks the bullpen has given up. The whole pitching staff has given up so many walks.
They've walked 43 batters in the 8 postseason games. 43 in 8 postseason games.
And Justin Wilson has only pitched a couple of outs against Washington.
Right. I mean, Montgomery. You put him in, walk wild pitch.
That's the thing. Montgomery in chaos. Contreras in chaos. Getting crossed up a couple of times. Almost hurting himself getting crossed up.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, hurting himself.
Yes, hurting himself. Yeah,
taken out of the
game.
Costing a run getting crossed
up. But then Avila got a hit.
Yeah, but it's just like
nice.
But
the
number
series.
Of different players having unfocused, sloppy moments has been really embarrassing in this series.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Texts coming in at 670-11. On the score. Text coming in at 670-11 of the Spiegel and Parkins show.
You have to turn your mic on.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
It's all right.
I'm an idiot.
Here's Paul from Milwaukee. This whole season felt like a long, slow slog to the 3 seed. We were all waiting for the playoffs. In 8 playoff games, they've played well in overall in 1 game. It's game 1 of the NLDS, and I disagree with that, actually. Their other 2 wins included countless errors, did not feel like winning baseball. The playoffs have done nothing to redeem that first half of the season. I don't agree with that either. But to him, it just feels like a letdown, despite being in the NLCS for the 3rd straight year. I think game 3 at Wrigley, when Almora has the huge hit to tie it, right? Moore's hit was to tie it in that game.
Yeah.
That game was remarkable and an incredible swing of emotions and amazingly satisfying. I hope if you were at 1 game this postseason, Cub fans, it was that one, because that was the one to be at. We'll see what happens tonight. But
I was doing a great show with my microphone off, by the way. I appreciate you just speeding right by and allowing that to go on. That was great.
I was confused as to what was happening there, but
my bad. I'm an idiot. I apologize, but I should mention that this segment is brought to you. This is what I was doing. I was just reading a sponsor to myself. It's brought to you by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com. When they are officially eliminated, we'll do more of the big picture stuff and the look ahead and looking back and what it is and all of that. I just will say it again, how I don't think that this is it's the end of the season. It's not the end of the run when they lose. And so, yes, there have been frustrating moments in the playoffs and they haven't hit. And in some ways, they are very lucky to even be in the NLCS after how they hit in the NLDS.
They're absolutely lucky to have gotten through that. And that's why
But the Nationals made enough of their own mistakes, too, and played poorly enough also that, like, it was a weirdly played series. We talked about that a lot.
It was bizarre. And that entire game was bizarre. Look,
so someone has to win.
The lone big inning, really, like, the lone big inning for the Cubs offense in this entire postseason was that one against Scherzer, which nobody has ever seen.
Right, his one inning.
With a dropped third strike and catcher's interference and a hit batsman.
And missed calls and weird replay and all sorts of stuff.
That's the big rally inning for the Cubs in this entire postseason. It's bananas.
And so how many home runs do they have? Because they have, I think in this series, all of their runs are via the home run.
Correct.
Which is insane. Like they have
wait a minute. Is that true?
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
I said it pretty confidently. Mm. But they are 0 for 11 with runners in scoring position in the series. So I actually do think it's true.
Well, this from Chris Kampka. They are 0 and 4 in games that they hit a home run in this postseason. And they're 3-1 when they don't hit a home run.
It's hard to do.
It just doesn't make any sense.
4 extra base hits in the series.
Zero from Bryant or Rizzo. 0 extra base hits, 0 RBIs from Bryant or Rizzo.
Yeah. And again, then Russell or Contreras or Zobrist, anybody, feel free to step up and carry the team.
Thought it was going to be Schwarber there for a moment. Great at bat, great home run.
Oh, I thought it was going to be one of those 9-8 games. Patrick Manley, who's coming in for the noon hour, who predicted the 9-8 final score in the weird game 5 of the division series.
The wind blowing out.
Home run. Darvish looked hittable early.
They hit so many balls hard off of Darvish early on. Schwarber's ground out in his second at bat was hit harder than his home run.
John Jay had the opportunity to put a crooked number on the board after Contreras and Bryant had the singles.
Huge moment. Had Darvish on the ropes in inning number one.
Yeah, and you know, they haven't been able to come through. They haven't had many opportunities where they could come through without the home run. And there they were.
Yeah. You know, and that Schwarber moment when the crowd was loud, that lasted for a while. But then the Andre Ethier homer. Andre freaking Ethier, Dave Roberts. Everything he did came up aces. Andre Ethier had 64 plate appearances over the last two seasons combined because of injuries. But, yeah, I mean, Roberts puts him in and gets a home run off him.
Want to take one more call before we get to Can't Do It?
Yeah, let's try Kim in North Center to talk about that crowd, which was very eerily quiet, certainly for the back seven innings of the game.
Thanks for calling, Kim.
Hi, yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. I felt like the crowd was completely dead. And here it is, the bottom of the ninth. It's like nobody there had watched this team play before. Like, they've come back from being down that far, and nobody had rally caps on. Nobody was cheering. It just was kind of sad. I mean, can't we just celebrate that it's October 18th today and we're still playing baseball? The Cubs are still playing. I think it's, you know, the guy behind me had nothing good to say. Every single Cub player that came up to the plate, everything that happened, I finally turned around at about the seventh inning. I had enough. I said, I've never met a Cubs player who hated the Cubs as much as you do.
A Cubs fan who hates the Cubs as much as he did.
People deal with grief in different ways, Kim. You know what I mean? Like,
so it turned ugly around Kim. Turned ugly around Kim.
And then Kim turned around and got ugly, but, you know.
What'd you say to him, Kim?
No, I just said that's what I said. I'm like, okay. I've never met a Cubs fan that hated
That's not
the
that
Cubs.
Ugly. Could have been ugly.
No, you're good. Hey, Kim, are you a season ticket holder?
I am.
Okay, did you get the sense that there were a lot of people, or in your section anyway, who had bought from season ticket holders?
Yes. You know, this is something, it was way worse last year. Like, all of, like, the really, really rich people that know nothing about baseball but talk, like, very authoritatively about it.
Mm.
This year it's better. The ticket prices aren't as high this year. But, yeah, it's weird to see the season ticket holders there in the postseason, a lot of people. So we go to every flipping game.
Yeah, there's a lot of that was going on. We talked to some people before the game about that, too, and certainly got that sense. Anytime a team is great and you're in kind of potential dynasty realm, or at least, you know, in contention every year, then some very, very rich people who may not have the same passion / knowledge / interest level are doing it. They go there to see and be seen and go and be there, and it's not the same kind of hardcore fan that's been there all year.
Someone told me that face value for standing room only was over $100 yesterday. That is preposterous. Like, that is that.
Yeah, I think it's true. Face value is like what, $111 for standing
stand.
Room. But those tickets were going for like $79 or something on StubHub.
I mean,
or SeatGeek, excuse me.
It speaks to the secondary market, though, and how many Cubs fans there are. But that is ridiculous. Stand at the back of a stadium, look through the posts, and not be close to the field for $80.
I did not see any Coogee sweaters like in the Bulls 90s heyday when those fans would be, you know, a lot of those folks who hadn't been there and were there for the dollars. Here's supply and demand. Great text. Hey, guys, maybe the crowd was tired.
It's possible. Yeah. I'm telling you, we're tired this morning.
Long trip.
Yeah. Speaks. Oh, yeah. There's the sweater.
You scared the hell out of me, Mitch. Yeah, Mitch Rosen has a Coogee sweater. Yeah, remind me, didn't Boers give you this or something? No, like, I remember you told me something about this.
No, I had it for the XRT Ugly Christmas Sweater Party.
But that qualifies.
This is exactly the kind of sweater that you used to see Gene Siskel wearing in the third row of Bulls games in the 90s.
A lot of our Highland Park brethren in the 90s.
Yeah, that's right. North Shore bastards.
Hey.
Oh, sorry.
I'm right here.
Sorry about that.
I'm right here. Unbelievable. And it was Glencoe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Get it right.
So different.
Ask us questions that we can't answer. Mitch Rose was out of his office, so maybe he's away from his dump button. 312-644-6767. For me, Spiegs, for Jay, for Campy. 312-644-6767. Can't do it. Next on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is Can't Do It on 670 The Score. Winners will win a four-pack of tickets to Marvel Universe Live Age of Heroes at Allstate Arena November 2nd through the 5th. See the Guardians of the Galaxy team up with your favorite Marvel superheroes. Tickets available now at marveluniverselive.com.
312-644-6767 is the number. You call in. You ask one question of one person with no follow-ups. It can't be proprietary. If it's been asked and answered before, we don't have to open the old wound. We can say asked and answered. We'll have Patrick Manley co-host the noon hour with us. He always brings a friend along for the ride. We're also waiting for word from the Advocate Center on what the punishment will be for Bobby Portis. You ready to take some calls, Speak?
Sure.
Joe in Joliet, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
My question is for Parkins.
Okay.
With all the problems with the Bulls and Portis and Nico Mirotic, who at the score would you like to punch in the face?
Oh, boy.
Rick Camp. Thanks for calling.
It wouldn't be Can't Do It without a side swipe at Rick Camp.
And he's been annoying me lately with these troll jobs from a Sox fan perspective, denying it that it's not because of a Sox.
They have nothing else to do, Danny. Don't worry.
Yeah. 312-644-6767. David in Peoria. David, you're on the score.
Hey, thanks, guys. Really enjoy the show.
Thanks,
David.
Question is for Spiegel. Last week, someone asked who the biggest bag in the Cubs locker room was, and you said Rizzo. Why do you think Rizzo is the biggest bag in the Cubs locker room?
You're a good listener. That's a well-played game.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
For the record, we got about seven of those calls today.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
That's how you play the game.
That is how you play the game.
That's how you
listen
play the
for
game.
When we bite our tongue, and then you try to call us on it, and you see if we'll spill the beans or if we got to take it down.
I mean, there's just
good job
just,
by David and Peoria.
Yeah, good job, good job. There's just there was one item that I know about, and that's all.
All right, Ethan in Wheeling, who's your question for?
This is for Matt.
Hi, Ethan. Go.
Hi, Matt. Hey, man. Drawing from your own experience and based on what you've gathered from Danny Parkins and who he is as a human, if you had to give me a percentage, what do you think are the chances that his wife ends up leaving him?
Oh my God.
You're a sick, twisted individual, Ethan. I didn't know where that was going. Like, based on Spiegel's experience in divorce and what he knows about me, what it is that she leaves me. That was a well-worded question. That was a well-worded question, my friend. And I hate you.
While I do have some opinions on Danny's particular level of life experience / maturity, just by who he is, on the age range, I get every sense that his relationship is very, very open and honest and real. So as long as he's honest and they talk about stuff, and he seems to be very in love with her.
Filibuster 0%.
No. But
what's the percentage?
10%.
10%.
10%. 10%.
Ethan not satisfied with the answer.
I've never seen any instance of you like lying, cheating, stealing, any of the kind of things that would be deal breakers in marriages.
I appreciate you saying that.
Your obsessive nature in terms of like paying attention to your job and your career and stuff, I'm sure she's aware of that already.
That's been a problem before.
Of course.
And listen, statistically speaking,
that's 10, why I went 10%.
10% is a compliment.
That's a gift.
So let's go to Sam. Sam, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Rick Camp.
All right.
Hello.
Rick.
Yes.
I got a question for you. While the guys were interviewing Chase Carter live in studio, which one of them do you think was having the dirtiest thoughts go through their head?
I'm sorry, what was the scenario again?
I asked, when the guys were interviewing Chase Carter live in the studio, the Sports Illustrated model,
yes.
which one of the guys do you think was having the dirtiest thoughts go through their head?
Which one of us has a filthier mind, essentially, when the Sports Illustrated model was here?
I'm going to go with Spiegel.
What the hell is that? What is that about?
Well, I mean, part of it's just purely by proximity. You were physically sitting closer.
I was sitting closer.
All right,
probably fairly equal, though.
Asked and answered. You asked the follow-up there, frankly.
That's true.
Let's see here. Grady in Aurora. Grady, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Hey, my question's for Spiegel.
Yes, sir.
All right, so when you were a kid during your lunch time in like middle school, elementary school, or whatnot, what's the nastiest concoction you ate?
The nastiest food concoction I ate as
a
kid?
Yeah.
Actually, I can't really think of one as a kid. I'll give you one as an adult, though,
if
you want. I remember one night I made, you know, I was looking around and we had there was some old bratwurst. So I sauteed the bratwurst because I didn't have a grill at the time. I put them in a tortilla with some pepper jack cheese. And then the only condiment that made sense to me was some blueberry mustard. And
what?
And I remember like eating that. And then telling my wife at the time what I was eating, and she said, "What the hell is wrong with you?" But like that kind of thing, I've made sandwiches out of things that don't deserve to be sandwiches a lot in my life. Maybe that's not even that bad.
No, but, you had a specific answer to the question, though, so I will give you credit for that.
That's where my brain went.
I don't know what I would do, answer to that.
I had a roommate in my 20s who used to put butter and sugar in a pan and just warm it up and then eat that with a spoon.
And?
Wait, butter and sugar.
It's the basics, the very basics, man.
What does it turn into? Like, what do you? What's
sugar butter, Danny?
Sugar butter. Okay.
I mean, it's the basis of caramel. I think if you cook it long enough.
Okay.
I believe.
Is this with your hands or with a spoon, with a fork? How do you consume the sugar?
Spoon.
Okay.
He heated it up and then let it cool down a little bit, and then ate the butter and sugar together.
Wow. All right.
It's remarkable.
Joe, you're on Can't Do It. Might be the last question, depending on what it is. What's your question?
It's for Danny.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I'm supposed to ask that.
So, in all the Syracuse, you know, any Kansas City sports teams, what is the worst thing that you've seen an athlete do that has been unreported?
The worst thing you've seen an athlete do that's been unreported.
I don't want to hem and haw for the entire segment. The first thing that popped into my mind is, you know, those they're not hoverboards because those haven't been exist yet. Those things where you like roll around. Cam Newton does them down the street. What are they called?
They call them hoverboards, even though they're not.
Okay, they're not hoverboards because Back to the Future. The Royals got those, and everybody had them, and they were playing around with them in the clubhouse. And a clubhouse attendant, like as he was like carrying like a bunch of like towels and stuff over it, like kicked one of the player's hoverboards, and the player said to him, "That hoverboard's worth more than your life."
Oh, that see.
And I was just like, "Are you serious? Like, how? Why would you say
worth
that?
More than your life?
Yeah, like why would you say that? Like, what even if you're joking, like it's just
what an entitled pipsqueak bag that guy is.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, yeah. Thank you. Well played.
Yeah.
I was like, that is just so unnecessary.
That's so
like,
awful.
Guys, literally carrying your towels. Like, and you say it with a smile on your face, but like,
amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Maybe I've seen something worse, but
I don't know how else to say it, man. You sound like an entitled pipsqueak bag.
That guy does sound like an. Oh, that's what he was talking about, right?
Yeah. That one's going to live on, I have a feeling.
I'll do my best to let it die.
No, you're fine. Doesn't bother me. Pat Manley. What are we talking to Pat about this week? Oh, yeah. Fights on the team.
Yeah, fights within a team like Nico and Portis. Being down as far as the Cubs are.
Backs against the wall.
Yes.
What is going on with Whitehair? And we got to get to the bottom of his mystery guest this week. It's Pat Manley hanging out with us for the next hour on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.